Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Hey, everybody, welcome to the next episode of The Free Lawyer. And I'm really thrilled about today's episode. You know, I've been practicing for 44 years, and one of the values that's so important to me is professionalism. And candidly, in my years of practice, and maybe this is an old guy shooting his mouth, but I've seen some decline in professionalism. Whereas we used to pick up the phone and call folks, you know, now it becomes everything's a fight and a battle, and it may not serve the client's interest. And I'm thrilled to have a young lawyer from Ontario on with me today, who I've connected with simply through LinkedIn because his posts are so powerful. He does daily posts, and it's all about how to be more professional as a lawyer. So I'm really happy to have Ryan Knizek with us today, practicing law in Ontario in the way it should be practiced. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm happy to be here as a guest as well on this podcast.
Thank you. Ryan, tell me a little bit about your journey as a lawyer, where you are and what you're doing today.
Sure. So today I'm a family lawyer. I'm in Ontario in Canada, and I'm a partner at a firm. And I started actually, which is interesting, I kind of started in the area of finance. So I wasn't in law at all. I thought I was going to be in the area of finance after I finished school. And then a couple of years after working in finance, I decided to take a shot at, you know, writing the exams for entry, and then I got in and went into law that way. And then I ended up getting exposed to family law as a student in my, I believe it was my second year. I was working with a sole practitioner in the area of family law. So I kind of worked throughout school, and then I continued on. So I've only been working in the area of family law since I've been a lawyer.
Fantastic. And that's been your sole area of practice?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's been my sole focus.
And what are some of the problems as a practicing attorney that you've encountered in your practice, and how do you manage them?
Sure. So I guess in the area of family law, there can be several issues that arise, and some of them are as a result of the fact that it's an emotional area. So you're dealing with people who are going through a difficult situation. They're going through a separation, their family situation is changing. If there's children involved, they're figuring out how to parent going forward. There's financial issues. So there's a lot of like emotions flying around. So sometimes what you see is these emotional issues will translate into conflict, and some lawyers will engage in some conflict as well and kind of take on their client's case a little bit as their own. So that's kind of some of the issues that you see in the area of family law. And there's, I guess, several ways to address this when you do see it. And some of them include just remaining, I guess, objective and fact focused or resolution focused, and not engaging in this type of conflict or escalating the emotions of the case that's already going to be emotional to begin with.
What are some of the unpleasant, perhaps unprofessional habits you've seen some other lawyers who don't practice law the way you do? What are some of those unprofessional behaviors that you've encountered?
Sure. So some challenging behavior or some challenging conduct that we see sometimes are, there's a few. Some are, you get some lawyers, I guess, attacking you personally or your client through communications. And you do see that sometimes in family law. So we'll get letters or emails where they're taking, you know, personal attacks on people, which is unhelpful. So we do see that sometimes. And again, that may be part of the emotional area or how that person practices. I guess that's their style. So that's one thing that we see that's a bit problematic. Another issue sometimes that arises is that you just have people who are unengaged on the other side. So they just don't respond. They don't engage. They don't do anything unless there's some sort of emergency or court event arising. So these are kind of situations where they kind of just sit in the file and do nothing. So that's problematic because people in family law, especially, they want timely resolution or addressing issues. Because when you're dealing with parenting and financial issues, you know, you can't always wait around for long periods of time. So
you know, I've never quite understood why, when we're paid to resolve issues for our clients and we're paid to answer questions, that the biggest complaint I ever have about other lawyers when a client, a prospective client, calls me is my lawyer won't call me back. Mm-hmm. And it simply makes no sense, because we're in the business to call our clients back, give advice, and get paid to do so. And they're happy to pay us to give them the advice, but lawyers hesitate in doing that. And I'm not sure that I know why.
Yeah, I think there's a couple issues, or I guess what I've seen, some people are busy, which is fine. But from a practical perspective, if you're busy, like, at least what clients, I guess, appreciate is, at least if you tell them, you know, I got your message and I will be responding to you, and I anticipate a response by this time. At least, like, if you give them the heads up instead of just not responding at all. I agree. Some people come to me, they switch over from other lawyers, and some of the issues they say are that my lawyer just doesn't engage with me. They won't talk to me through the issues. They won't make time for me. Yeah, I agree. That's an issue for clients. So there are ways to deal with it. Because, like I said, sometimes you're busy, you have certain things going on. But as long as you're communicating with people and they understand that, usually that will resolve that issue. But I agree, it's good to get back on a timely basis. People want answers, and if you don't know the answer right away because you have to research it or think about it, tell them. Like, people, they'll understand. Like, they'd rather you say, I got to look into this issue, it's going to take me a couple of days, than to just not respond at all.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you deal with a lawyer who's angry or engages in name calling, either about you or your client, or
sure,
wants to fight about every little thing, filing motion after motion, and you see your client, but also the other party's finances being drained by that?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a quick way to burn through people's financial resources, that kind of conduct. So I think a lot of dealing with that situation is, on my end, for my own clients, a lot of it is working with the client, like getting on a call with them and explaining what's communication comes in, instead of just forwarding it to them and letting them sit with that email or letter filled with all this toxic stuff. I find it helpful to, like, get on a call and say, got a letter. This is kind of the tone of it, and explain to them, you know, if there's any actual issues aside from all this tone to actually address, how to address it, instead of just forwarding them the communication and then them getting it and then, you know, sitting with this toxic letter and then, you know, feeling stressed out. I think that's a good practice. So you can get on the phone and then, you know, talk to them, forward it with them, go through it with them when they get it, so that you can explain, you know, the tactics that are being, you know, that the lawyer is engaging in, and then ways to address it, and then ways to respond to it, and explaining to them that, you know, it's not helpful to respond the same way. You're just going to cost yourself a lot of money and headache and achieve nothing, really. So I find, like, it's better to just focus at the end of the day, go through the letter and strip it from all the tone and see what they're actually saying. Like, are they actually proposing a resolution? Are they actually, you know, agreeing with your point, but layering it? Sometimes they see this, they agree with a point, but they need to layer it with tons of insults for some reason. Are they agreeing with it? Are they suggesting another option? Like, so once you kind of get through all that stuff, I find that helps the clients, because then they say, okay, thank you. Like, all right, like, all these insults, whatever, they're not really going to affect me. I understand what they're actually saying or what steps need to be done. I find that's really helpful, because me personally, if I got a letter and it's just filled with insults and no one explained to me what was going on, you'd feel like you're being attacked, right? So I find that helps. It helps kind of calm, at least from my client's perspective, it calms them. And then in terms of, like, how you conduct yourself with that kind of person, I just find the best way is to just stay objective and focused on what you're trying to achieve. So, like, you don't need to communicate back to them in the same way. You can just say, like, you know, I got your letter and I understand you're, like, if they're basically agreeing with something, you say, I understand you agree with this. Or if they're not, I understand you're not agreeing with this, and here are the next proposed steps. Here's an alternative solution. Or the next step is this, a court date or mediation or whatever, arbitration. So it's better to do that than in just engage in endless letters of insulting each other. That's
really great advice. So you'll let your client know ahead of time when that kind of letter has been received.
Yeah.
Sometimes with email, it's so easy to just We get the letter by email. We email to the client and they're blindsided and upset and scared. So that's great that you let them know in advance. And you don't engage with the other attorney. My mother always said, I guess everybody's mother always said, it takes two to tango.
That's right.
Probably not unique to my mother. And that other lawyer can't fight by themselves. It takes two and you don't engage.
Yeah, that's right. Like I'll engage with them. I mean, by addressing issues, but I won't engage in the same way. Like I'm not going to write them back and, you know, with the same type of insult. It's just so unproductive. So I once clients understand that, because some people, it's interesting. So some people have the perception that, you know, in order to be a successful advocate, you need to write letters like this. I think that's a big, maybe the root issue. Some people think that, like, my lawyer needs to write insulting the other lawyer and the other party. Like, that means they're doing a good job. I think once people, you have to work with clients and, you know, once they understand that that's not productive, then, and they start seeing, I find through at least my clients, they start seeing, oh, this actually is a better approach. You're not engaging like this and it's working. And then they say, okay, like it's kind of takes a little bit of time and they say, all right, fine, fair enough. I see why you're not doing this. So it helps. Yeah. And it does help to give them a heads up. I also sometimes find you have to ask them, like, for example, if some lawyers like to send these types of letters or demands at like weird days and times, like Friday at end of day or something like that. Like you don't want to ruin someone's weekend. So like you can speak to some clients in advance, like depending, I don't know what this letter is, depending on what the letter says, you can say to them, I got a letter. There's nothing in it that requires action. Do you want to talk about it on Monday and I'll give it to you? Or do you want to see it and have a call? Like you don't need to, there's nothing actionable in it or pressing or, you know, or something that like literally doesn't require a response for days. Then that's something to consider as well, just to, so that you don't want a client sitting all weekend on this kind of, you know, on this stress. They don't need to.
What are some of the biggest problems you've seen lawyers, you know, facing in this challenging legal profession today?
I think it's that. I think mainly, to be honest, it comes down to the personality dynamics and the conduct of people. Like there's the law, which, you know, you learn over time, you practice in an area, you figure it out. And then the harder part is the dynamics of navigating. How do you negotiate with someone who's hostile towards you, and how do the you keep your client calm, and when you know the other spouse is also being hostile towards them? And so that's the kind of, I find like that's the, once you figure that out, like how to navigate these difficult dynamics, like that's, that helps a lot. But that's a big challenge, I think, in the profession, is dealing with not even the law, it's the personalities. How do you, who are the personalities at stake? What are the parties like? What are the relationship dynamics? Who's the other lawyer on the other side? How do they communicate? What is going to get their attention? How do you get things moving? That's the kind of stuff I think that are like, that are challenges to figure out.
I can tell that your philosophy is like mine. I view myself, although I am a litigator, I don't handle case viewing myself as litigator. I see myself as a paid professional problem solver. My client comes to me with an issue. At some point, they want to get to the other side. They want to be free. They want to have the financial issues resolved. They want the custody issues resolved. They want to get past it. And my goal is to get them there as fast and easy as I can.
Right.
When I have a lawyer like you on the other side, that's easy. And when I have one of the other lawyers, you use those approaches that you know, that you've seen. What are some of your best tips for litigators today?
Sure. So I think if you're facing, you're right. So there's a couple different people. Either you're going to get some counselors are very cooperative and you resolve cases quickly when they are. And then you get some people who are difficult or whatever, their clients are difficult. So I think if your case is going to be in court, the ways that you can achieve the most, especially lately, I don't know what it's like near you, but here it's hard to get court accessibility and dates. The pandemic.
Yeah, we're the same. We're catching up on COVID.
Same, yeah.
And so, for a while, we didn't have jury trials, and then all the judges were sitting domestic. Everything was being tried.
Right, right.
And now, because they are having jury trials, they're so backed up, particularly in criminal cases. We have 23 judges in my county. We may have one sitting domestic, where we used to have six. So everything's getting postponed, which just increases the cost for the client.
Yeah, so we're seeing accessibility issues in terms of like availability. Same, there's backed up. You just can't get court dates that easily. It takes a while. So because of that, you have to make the most out of every court appearance you go to, because it's, to be honest, pretty rare that you get in front of a court. And then it takes, sometimes you go and the next appearance you can get 6 months, 8 months is the earliest date. So I think a way, if you're going to go to court, like for example, we have conferences here, and a way to get the most out of it is to prepare draft orders for judges, circulate them to counsel in advance of the appearance. Call the lawyer. I do this all the time. I circulate draft orders in advance of a conference, and I call the lawyer in advance of me going to court. And I say, here's what I'm asking for. Do you agree with any of this? Do you disagree? What do you disagree with? So that by the time we go in front of the judge, we're not both hearing each other talk for the first time about what the issues are. So usually I'm able to go in front of a judge and say, I've talked to the other lawyer, and we have two issues. I've given you a draft order, and the two issues are as follows. A, B, can we have your input? So that way you're not, you know, spending or wasting any time. You're getting the judge to be laser focused on literally the two or three issues that are actually outstanding. And then the judge sits there and they weigh in, because they're not spending their time, you know, giving some general statements or guidance or going through all the issues, because you've already done it for them in advance. So that's a way to really utilize the court appearance efficiently, is to do that. Do
what
the
a great
work.
Idea.
Yeah, do the work in advance. Don't show up and talk to the lawyer for the first time in front of the judge, because you don't know what they're going to say. And you don't want to be, you yourself don't want to be surprised. I find it's helpful so that you're not surprised. I'm going to go to court. I already talked to the lawyer. I know exactly what they're going to say. I know exactly what issues they have. I'm going to be prepared. No, I'm not going to be surprised. So that's like one way to be prepared for these court appearances. Another way is whenever you're arguing something where the judge can make substantive orders, is just send out offers as early as possible. We have like offers to settle, right? So like send out offers to settle proposals literally even before you start drafting the materials. Like you, if you're going to have a court date and you know you're going to, you can, nothing is preventing you from sending out an offer before you draft a single court document. And if you do that really early, before you even provide your materials, you may even settle the issues or narrow them again, or the other side may get back to you and be like, I got your offer and we're actually okay with all these issues. There's only one thing. So, and the benefit to doing that too, is if you do end up arguing it, it can help you for cost consequences, here in Ontario. But I think that's another one, is to just prepare resolution proposals literally as early as possible. And you can, your client can revise them and change their positions too, even with materials served. So that's another way to prepare. So as long as it's kind of like, you have to do most of the work, obviously, like in advance, most of the resolution work in advance, and do most of the work for the judges as much as you can. Give them the draft orders, run the calculations, do all their work for them. The more you do that, the more likely they're going to, you know, you're going to get a result of what you're asking for.
That's great. What challenges do you see from your practice in Ontario that the legal profession encounters the most? What are the biggest challenges facing the legal profession today?
I guess from like the family law perspective, I don't know. I guess there's different, I guess everyone has different challenges. I think some of them, like I said, some of them I'm hearing, or most people who are messaging me into and reaching out to me, a lot of them, like I was saying at the beginning, it's kind of, they're dealing with these kind of dynamics, either their employment situation dynamics, or their personality dynamics, are dealing with counsel on the other side. So I get a lot of people who message me saying, you know, like, I read whatever post and I am having this issue with counsel on the other side, you know, what do you think, or how, like, how to navigate this situation. So I think a lot of people are facing similar challenges, like, where, how do I just deal with difficult people, basically, either through work, like I said, either, and some people face issues with, you know, how they do work, or how they're treated, whatever. It's all kind of the same. It's all this person, these relationship dynamics that people are facing. It's not even the law. It's not like, you know, people aren't, it's not the substantive law that I think people are struggling with. It's navigating these personalities.
Yeah, it's interesting. The problem isn't the substantive law, and the problem really isn't so much the emotions of our clients, because we as lawyers know how to manage them. Give them options, paint a picture of what their choices are and how it could work out. It's often dealing with the lawyer on the other side. And if we could all kind of practice law like you do, and like you suggest here today and in your posts, life would go a lot better, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that I don't know. You think people would be just self-interested in practicing more, like in a, just more like a friendly way. Obviously, like, you have your client goals and your clients want to achieve certain things. And by being nice to the other person, you're not giving up on your client's positions. You're just being respectful and treating the other person like a human. And all you're doing is making the whole dynamic less stressful. You still have your issues. You're either going to resolve them or not, but at least you're not going to be stressing having to have a call with the other side. Like, you don't want to be, I have a call tomorrow with this lawyer. This is going to be terrible. You don't want to be stressing about that. Or, like, this lawyer's just going to write me another letter yelling at me. Or this lawyer's going to yell at me in court. Like, it's unnecessary. Nothing changes. The issues are there. No matter how, whatever you want to do, the issues exist. So you can either address them, professionally and make it easier for both lawyers and their clients, because no one's like on this elevated state. Or you go down the other road and it's just unhelpful. It doesn't change it. Like, the issues don't change. They're always there.
I've often shared about the concept of acceptance, or sometimes that call comes in from that lawyer we can't stand, or we get a nasty email from him, and we immediately it gets in our head. We're frustrated. I don't want to talk to him. Oh my gosh, it's him again. And the thing is, sometimes we just need to accept that's how he is. And how do we respond to it? And you've given some great suggestions about how to respond. Rather than not want to open that email from that lawyer, knowing it's going to be full of invective and names and so forth, just open it and deal with it, and not resist the fact that that person is how they are, because they are.
Yeah, no, I agree. You figure out pretty quickly on a case after a few communications with another side how they are. You figure out, you're right. Like, that's who that person is, and that's how they communicate. And those are the letters you're gonna get. And you're right. And instead of, like, every time you get it, you know you're gonna get it, and still, bugs you because no one likes these kind of letters. But you're not gonna let it affect how you approach the case. Like, that person is who they are, and you still have your strategies, and you're kind of just trying to maneuver through their tone, whatever, and see what you're actually trying to achieve. I agree. But it's still like, obviously would be nicer not to be getting communications like that. But you're right. Like, some people just don't change. Sometimes they do. Like, on some cases where, like, you don't match that conduct, you stay friendly, professional. Sometimes they change over time, and they, like, you don't engage like that. You pick up the phone, you call them, whatever, as a human, and then they kind of just stop doing that. I've seen that happen before in some cases where some people send these weird letters, and then I call them, I meet them in court. Yeah, we talk about issues in a professional way, and then they're like, oh. And then I sometimes joke with them, like, stop sending, you don't need to send letters like that, right? Like, we can talk about these. And then they
Right.
kind of, like, laugh it off, and they're like, fine, you're fine, you're right. So, like, that's the way to kind of change it as well. Like, you can be trying to just be friendly. Like, you're not, again, by being friendly and nice and cooperative, you're not giving up on your client's position. You're just making the communication a lot nicer for everyone.
I began practicing at a time when cell phones and emails didn't exist. I would send you a letter. I know it's kind of funny, but that there was actually such a time. We actually type things on things called a typewriter. You might have heard of them or seen them in a museum. I don't know. But I would have to send you a letter. And I would never know when you got the letter, or when you received it, or when you're going to answer it. So we would speak on the phone all the time because it was one way to efficiently communicate. But it seems like nowadays, with the invent of email and its prevalence, people like to email and they don't like to pick up the phone and talk. But I don't know how many times you said during this conversation, I call the lawyer. I call the lawyer. I talk to him. And my experience is when you and I speak, we have a very productive conversation. We don't usually hang up the phone. We don't usually call each other names, but it's easy to do that in a letter or an email. Have you seen some lawyers sort of avoiding calls and kind of wanting to go back to just sending an email instead of really being open to chatting?
I push the calls and conversations. So I get on the call, like, a lot. I know, like, I always push it, 'cause I know the calls are beneficial, 'cause you're gonna know a few things. Like, first, you're gonna understand what's driving these communications behind the case. Like, is it this lawyer's personality? Is it their client? Like, what's really happening behind the scenes? Like, you're not gonna get that in a letter or email, whatever. And then the benefit of the call is, like, you can get to the issue. You can say, like, this is our position. What is your position? What are you actually asking for? Like, a lot of the time, what's lost in all these letters are what everyone's actually trying to achieve and get at, because they're so focused on, who's going to have the last word or insult, whatever. But so these calls are effective. And like I said, I do. I push for them. I get on them. I email lawyers all the time. We have court next week. Let's set up a call. Let's talk. And every single time, almost every single time I get them, they always do it. And then once they speak to me, and I think what kind of reinforces it, they realize, like, once you talk to them in a professional way and it's friendly and whatever, like, people are more likely to talk to you again. Like, if you get on the phone with someone and someone's screaming at you, you're probably not going to talk to them and get on the phone. So I find like I'm able to develop like a dynamic with these people, even on high conflict cases. Like, hey, this is my position, this is your position. All right, we can't reach an agreement. It's fine, but at least we're talking nicely with each other. So you're going to get them on a call again. Like, you're going to speak to each other again in the future if the first few calls you're developing this relationship with counsel. So I do find like I push for it. I push for the calls to happen, and they happen, and they're very productive because you learn a lot more on a call than you do in a letter. Because a lot of people, you can't communicate certain things or whatever, but a lot of lawyers will just on the call be like, all right, this is what we're actually really trying to get at. Go call your client and see if we can get you there. And then it works. It does work.
That's fantastic. I know for a lot of lawyers, they focus on what causes them stress instead of what they find fulfilling as an attorney. And when we feel fulfilled in what we do, we feel so much better. What do you find fulfilling, and how do you find fulfillment as a practitioner?
Yeah, sure. So I personally like resolving cases. I find it fulfilling to like get a case in and just get some closure and keep it out of court. I find that fulfilling to be able to like use a skill set to avoid court is I over the years I've kind of like learned how to do that, and I find it fulfilling. Like, I can take cases in and resolve them fairly quickly. So I find that I like that, and I've seen over the years like it develop and a skill develop over time. So to me, it's fulfilling to be able to take kind of complicated cases or case with a lot of conflict and actually settle it, and reach resolution and figure out how to do it. So I find it fulfilling to be able to like figure out how to come up with solutions that's going to satisfy people and avoid a judge making the call.
Yeah,
I find that,
I couldn't agree more. That's the same for me because, like I said in the beginning, I see myself as a problem solver, and I can help my clients get from here to there when they're full of fear and worry and not knowing what the future is. And I can help them find that solution. I enjoy the joy that they feel from being free of all that process and stress.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, once it's over, they can move on with their lives. I mean, they're not dealing with legal fees and talking about issues and all letters like we were talking about, or court materials, whatever. They can just move on and stop stressing about it, because court is stressful for people. And even
Very
negotiations,
stressful.
even mediations are stressful for people, even though they're a more relaxed setting. Like, they're emotional. People are kind of, they see these opportunities as their time to tell their story. And but yeah, I find it helpful. They move on with their lives. The quicker, the better for people. Most people want to, they separate, they want to understand how the process works, how the claims work, what range of solutions are, and how to close it out quickly. That's what most people want, I find, in family law.
Yeah,
So,
me too.
so it's helpful to get there. It's yeah, that's fulfilling to be able to get people there.
Ryan, I call this podcast the Free Lawyer Podcast, not because lawyers are free, but because it's all about how we can find personal freedom as a practicing an attorney. And so my question to you is, what does true personal freedom mean to you?
I guess as a practicing lawyer, it's nice to have a few things. It's nice to have like autonomy over your work in terms of like your schedule and the kind of cases you take on. That's really nice. And also, being able to, like I said, being able to help people out is fulfilling in terms of practicing. So I find that once you have this kind of nice balance and you can get yourself in the place where you're not. You can create this yourself. You get yourself in the place where you're not constantly opening your email every day and seeing conflict every day and lawyers spewing hate at you. You can do that by acting professionally, trying to be friendly, building relationships. You can create a less stressful practice. It does work. You see it. You stop get you don't have when your inbox isn't filled with daily letters and stressful threats of litigation or court, like you're dealing more with, you get a letter, but it's professional and productive. So that's a way I find, like, once you get to that point, the practice becomes a lot nicer. It's less stressful. You look
It
forward to
sure
it. You're
is.
not, yeah.
It sure is. Ryan, I think you're really a shining light in today's legal profession of how to really perfect practice law both effectively and professionally. And I want to thank you for that. For those lawyers or other participants in the legal profession who are interested in getting in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you, Ryan?
Sure. So my email address at my firm, it's rkcmcmurray KNIZNIK at blaney.com, BLANEY.com. And my work phone number, it's 416-593-3921. Also, you can just look me up on LinkedIn and message me there. So there's different ways to get a hold of me.
Well, that's great. Ryan, I know how busy you are. Your practice is very, very active. I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. I really love what you had to share.
All right. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed talking to you.
And for you all, thank you so much for listening with us today. I'm glad you're here. And to each of you, please be well, be safe, and be free. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.